Welcome to Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North. It's great to have your company. In the last several years, our southern neighbors in the city of Kenosha have seen a healthy amount of commercial and industrial real estate development. We talked about it in our Project Milwaukee Southern Connection series. But of course, times haven't always been so good. After Chrysler went bankrupt, Kenosha was left with a closed engine plant on a 100-plus acre contaminated site that was in the central city. It might have seemed like a raw deal, but Kenosha Mayor Keith Bozeman says, rather, the city saw an opportunity.
I think we see value in this site. Certainly, it's right in the middle of the city, and to leave the blighted buildings, crumbling buildings, to me would be unconscionable. So we're prepared, and we've partnered with the various governmental units to get the cleanup going. We will start the replanning, repurposing next year of what that site can be. If it turns out to be a business park or an industrial park, which I think there is potential for that, you know, the city would need to incentivize companies to locate far off the I-94 corridor, so to speak. It's 5 miles from I-94. Most of the companies that are looking at Kenosha want to be out near I-94. So I think there's probably potential where the city is going to have to help those companies financially to locate there. We're prepared to do that. I think we understand that.
We'll hear more from Bozeman a bit later. The public-financed incentives for private companies that Bozeman referred to are part of an aggressive development strategy that Kenosha is taking with various projects, whether for environmental or economic reasons. Reporter Sean Ryan has written about these projects, including the cleanup of the Chrysler site for the Business Journal of Milwaukee. He tells Lake Effect Stephanie Lecce the former plant site is looking very much different now.
There used to be about 1.5 million square feet of buildings out there, but earlier this year, they were all demolished. So right now, if you see it, it's basically a big empty site, although there is a lot of contamination in the ground that the city is working to clean up.
Well, let's kind of backtrack for a minute. Go back and explain the massive multi-party agreement that had to happen to even get the site to where it is right now.
Yeah, and it was a bit of a rarity in the way that it was such a compromise that all the parties agreed to. I mean, there was some hand-wringing along the way, but what happened was when Chrysler went bankrupt, they were in bankruptcy court and a different company was charged to take over all of their properties. Of course, the city wanted to take over control of the site, but they also wanted to have something come in to deal with how it would be cleaned up, who's going to take the liability for the contamination there.
Who's even going to pay?
Who's even going to pay for it is always a big question. So they looked at it. They brought in the local governments, the state, the EPA, and eventually they made a deal where Chrysler would take down the buildings there. A lot of them were sold to demo contractors for scrap. After that, the land was actually given to the city, free and clear, except for the underground contamination. And the city got $10 million from the federal government as kind of a startup toward the cleanup costs they're going to have to take on.
What is Kenosha currently still on the hook for in terms of those cleanup costs?
Well, they're looking at an estimate of about $30 million, and they've raised more than the $10 million toward that. They're still trying to raise the money to get the total cost done. But once they get those cleanups done, they will have 105 acres, and they will have control over who gets to redevelop it, which is a big plus for the city.
And you also wrote that as part of this agreement, Kenosha won't be responsible for future liability. Explain that. Why is that a key point?
Well, it's a role that governments can take that private companies really, in most often cases, can't. Because when you have contamination under your site, what if through underground groundwater it bleeds to neighboring properties, things like that? If you have the exemption from the liability on that, it just clears up a lot of legal issues that otherwise would be there.
Was this ever a situation where Chrysler was just going to be able to leave town, close up shop and leave town, and Kenosha would really be responsible for paying for all of these costs? Or was it always assumed that there would be some sort of equal pay here?
Well, you can never really assume that. There have been a lot of cases in the past where a facility did close down, maybe the owner went bankrupt, and the site just ended up being owned by a receiver, who knows, and it will sit in limbo for a long time. So in this case, because they worked out that compromise back in 2010 and 2011, there was at least a roadmap moving forward for what would be done with it.
So how long does Kenosha expect this cleanup process going forward to take before they can actually start making money, in the form of taxes, I suppose, off that site by having new companies come in?
That's kind of tough to answer. Part of it's up to the private sector and who wants to build on it. But I know that next year they're going to start really the cleanup work on the environmental issues in earnest. But maybe as a point of comparison, on a industrial site on Kenosha's lakefront that was cleaned up, it took about 15 years in total for that to go from what was a vacant industrial site to a fully developed condo. So these things do take time, and I think city officials realize that.
Why then agree to this? What is in it for the city to actually go forward to begin the process of not only getting the federal money, but raising the money that they have to as a municipality to clean this up?
Well, the alternatives are not very good. You've seen it in other cases where, especially when you have old buildings, you have environmental contamination. Generally, there are costs to clean that up that the private sector is just not going to take on. So if the local municipality doesn't step in a lot of cases, nobody will.
Is this in some ways a preferable situation then, where the city can go out and court whoever they want to take over and develop this land once it is decontaminated?
Yeah, it's a good situation for the city to be in. We've seen other governments be in that too, and I think they like to be in that position where they're able to decide what will be built there. I mean, they also control the zoning, and they're going to be doing a lot of planning efforts next year to try to decide what they want to see built there. So while it is a responsibility, there are also advantages to it also.
Are there talks as to what they hope to bring in? I mean, are they going to be courting another industrial company like Chrysler, or are they going to maybe go a little more white collar with just office buildings or something like that?
That's really yet to be determined. They're going to be bringing in, similar to what Kenosha has done on other industrial redevelopments, the Urban Land Institute next year, and they're going to walk the site, take a look at the community, and come up with at least ideas, a starting point to propose what kind of things would fit in with the surrounding neighborhoods and what could be both viable but also good reuses for it.
And the Urban Land Institute is?
It's an organization out of Washington, D.C. It's primarily a planning group.
Well, how does Kenosha's plan for this Chrysler site compare with, say, the Tower Automotive site in northwest Milwaukee?
I think the Tower serves as sort of a good counterpoint as to maybe, by comparison, how good of a deal the city of Kenosha got on this. Because with Tower Automotive, the city of Milwaukee had to step in. They had to pay for the land. Kenosha's getting the land for free. The city of Milwaukee had to pay $3.5 million for the 80-plus acres they got out there. And the city also had to basically take it on themselves to remove all the buildings and also to clean up the environmental contamination. Most of that work's been done, but those are things that the city really had to take on. Of course, they used state and federal grants to help. But in this case, Kenosha, even from the forefront, had a lot more things kind of in their corner and a lot more support up front than the city did.
Is this something that municipalities think about when a large industrial company comes in and takes over a large plot of land in their borders? I mean, I'm just wondering if you're thinking 20 years ahead, well, if this company falters, what are we going to be responsible for?
I haven't seen that kind of thinking for industrial jobs. A lot of, you know, the manufacturing jobs that come in, communities are happy to have the employment. But we've seen that sort of same concept be applied to big box stores, which, you know, in general, at least for a best case scenario for a manufacturer, a big box store is going to have a shorter lifespan. So some of them are trying to figure out, do we put things into the development agreement up front that dictates what's going to happen to this building once the retailer moves out?
We're talking with the Business Journal of Milwaukee's Sean Ryan. Now, there's another site in Kenosha that's being developed, and the city is also considering using public dollars to support the project, but it's not for the same reason as the environmental component with the Chrysler site. Tell us more about this particular project and why the city is considering using public dollars for a private site.
Well, it's a different kind of case, but right now Kenosha is looking at a tax incremental financing district by I-94. And this isn't a former site. This is actually just farmland now, but they're looking at investing $17 million that would help pay for a lot of the streets, a lot of the utilities for that site, but also provide a $4 million grant, if you will, to a development that's being proposed there, a very large distribution center.
Now, why would Kenosha decide to invest this kind of public money into a site that ultimately will go to a private company?
Historically, we've seen municipalities, particularly around here, take this approach when it comes to paying for the roads, paying for the site work and utilities to really get these big business park projects started. But as far as the incentive money, it's just becoming kind of a reality where communities that are vying for large projects like this that have multiple different locations where they can go, they all start bidding against each other and they all use public money to do it. But it's a reality of getting those jobs to go to your community versus another one.
So it's kind of like you have to invest in order to then get the money on the back end.
Yeah, it's actually in the state standards where if you're going to use these tax incremental financing districts where you're using property taxes to pay off whatever money you're giving toward the project, the term they use for it is but for, and it's a standard where if not for the public money up front, the development itself would not occur. So the way communities look at it when particularly they're trying to defend one of these is if they don't put this money in up front, the project will never happen anyway, and that way you're not going to get any property taxes, whereas by doing it, something will happen.
Are we seeing, though, that most municipalities that take this approach are getting the return on investment they need to make it worthwhile?
We've seen some cases where municipalities have borrowed more money up front than they were able to generate through property taxes to pay it off. That's generally not the rule, but it does happen, and it's happening more frequently enough that they're changing some state laws to help municipalities that get in those situations.
What are the realistic expectations Kenosha might have to actually put these sites to use and get those tax dollars we talked about?
Well, there's actually a user online for the site near Interstate 94. It's rumored, and no one from the project is actually saying for themselves, but it's rumored that it's going to be a warehouse for Amazon.com. I don't know about that for sure. But as for what's going to happen with the Chrysler site, that's really going to be up to the private sector and the development interests to see what they want to build there. But for what it's worth, we've seen a lot of development in Kenosha County. Kenosha's got a number of commercial projects as well as industrial ones going on right now. So they seem to be very healthy from a real estate standpoint.
How does that compare to the situation in, say, Racine or even Milwaukee counties?
Well, Racine, it's interesting, is sort of one step north from the Illinois border. A lot of the development we see along Kenosha County is coming from interest from developers in northern Illinois. And it's sort of working its way north, if you will. So we're seeing a lot of warehouses, industrial kind of companies moving and putting their sites in Kenosha County because it's just cheaper. There's more land available. And the expectation is that will continue creeping north. So while it hasn't quite made it up to Racine County yet, it's expected to.
Would you say taxpayers are on board with these kinds of investments that municipalities are making?
It's different in different cases. We've certainly seen a lot of debates over the use of tax incremental financing and these kind of developer grants in Milwaukee for various projects. So they're not always fully accepted. Sometimes there are protests, but at the same time, you see a lot of them get approved with very little outcry or no outcry.
Well, Sean Ryan, thanks so much. You'll have to keep us updated.
Thank you. I will.
Sean Ryan reports on real estate, construction, and public transit in southeast Wisconsin. He spoke with Stephanie Lecce. We'll return now to Kenosha Mayor Keith Bozeman to expand on the city's philosophy about putting public money toward private development.
Yeah, in general, you know, when we're trying to attract new business and jobs to the community, we're in competition with several other sites. It could be as many as three dozen sites that companies may be looking for in the area. And so there's competition involved, and cities need to step up from time to time. If the number of jobs is right, if the quality of the jobs is right, if the tax base can be developed, obviously the tax base is used to pay off our incentive that we give to the companies, but eventually these properties come on the tax rolls. And all of these things are taken into account when we're trying to do development.
How does Kenosha compare in terms of creating these public-private partnerships when it comes to real estate development?
I think we've done a good job. I think the Kenosha Area Business Alliance is a countywide organization here that works to develop new businesses. Their job is to help put together these packages for companies. And we try to be realistic in terms of not just giving away the store. You know, we want to be competitive with those other cities and states that we are in competition with for jobs. But I think we've got our location certainly is a piece of what we've got to offer here, too. And I think that's a big part of what we have to offer outside of the financials is just our good location.
That was Kenosha Mayor Keith Bozeman speaking with Stephanie Lecce. In the brave new world of email, instant messages, and Skype, a business collaboration between the U.S. Postal Service and Milwaukee's Quad Graphics hopes to keep the post office relevant and solvent. We'll hear about it next when Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio.